So glad that you're at the Lord's house this morning. We welcome you. Those who are here in the sanctuary, those who might be in the parking lot, those who are listening later online, always glad to have you a part of the fellowship that we have here at Barber's Grove on Sunday mornings. It's not just fellowship. We love the fellowship with each other, but I pray that you also fellowship with the Lord, that you sense His presence, that you hear from Him and that you tell Him how much you love Him. You get encouragement, you get strength, you get direction, all from the Lord. It's good to be in His house. Psalmist said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And we're so glad you're here. May we pray. Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us, for every blessing that we have. Pray now for the leadership of the Holy Spirit as we worship you, as we sing, as we spend time together. Lord, we love you. We love you because you first loved us. Now, Father, we pray that the Spirit of God might direct and guide. Lord, you know the needs of every heart that's here, every heart that might be listening later. And so, Father, may your Spirit speak to us. Give us that which we need. Direct us in the directions we need to go. May we feel your love. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning and welcome again. Let's all stand and sing together. I know that Jeff has us ready up there for There's Something About That Name. It's 177 if you prefer your book. We're going to just sing through it twice because it's too beautiful to just leave with one time. Stand with me.
Again, we welcome you this morning and pray that you're blessed as you join with us. A few announcements. Wednesday night, we'll be back to our usual 6:30 Bible study. And we'll be starting a study that will last several weeks on some of the signs of the return of Jesus. Some of the things that are happening right now. And when you look at what's going on in the Middle East, I didn't know there's going to be a war there whenever I announced that this is what we'd be studying, but it's looking real dangerous. And in the news this morning, talk about a couple of other nations that might want to get involved, and that looks pretty much like World War III and Armageddon. But so we hope you'll come and be a part of that Wednesday night. Most of you, I think, have gotten the list down here of the for next year, Deacon Family Ministry, with the phone numbers. And if your phone number or address or something on there isn't correct, if you'll let Brenda know, then she'll get it corrected. Still have about the cookbooks and the flavorings. If you're interested, see Brenda or Rosina. And after the service this morning, we'll be doing our quarterly church conference. If I start to forget and leave, y'all flag me down. Any other announcements?
Yes. Baptist men's retreat. We're leaving next Friday. If I can, after the conference, I need to see the Baptist men down front. Won't take but just a second. Just need a final count.
All right.
Who's coming and arrange the ride.
Right. And even if you haven't been thought about going, if you think about it and you can go, you just stay and talk with Jeff and the group after the service this morning.
And please.
I understand they don't blackball anybody. So you're welcome to come. All right, any other announcements?
It is Pastor Appreciation Month, so I would like for everybody to let Pastor Ed know how much we appreciate him and are grateful that he chose us and he chose to stay here. So if you'll just let him know how much we appreciate him.
Stole my thunder, but let me add some more light to that. It is Pastor Appreciation Month. We'll be taking up a love offering the last Sunday of the month. But don't let that stop you from going to do something special.
Okay.
Because he's special.
Sometimes I think about an old joke I heard. You know, this particular church, they ran off the pastor about every 6 to 8 months. And so finally, they got one guy, and he stayed year after year after year, and he's feeling pretty egotistical. And so he goes to one of the older church members and said, "I don't understand. Y'all ran off preachers after preacher after preacher, and you've let me stay forever. You know, how come, what's different about me?" And, preacher, if you don't know the truth, we don't really want a preacher. And you're as near no preacher as we can get. So, you know. Right. It was a good time. And I understand they had a good time on the trip to the mountains.
So, thank you to everybody for going.
Okay, it was a good trip. So it's been a good week. Any other announcements? All right, a prayer request. Want us to continue to pray for Tony Eifert. He's still in Mercy Hospital or whatever it's named now. And every day they say, well, he's too weak to get out, and we're looking for a place to rehab him. And so there's some days he gets a little discouraged because, you know, he wanted to be up and out, and he hadn't been. Maybe I shouldn't tell this, but I'm going to. I was a little disappointed in the food they brought him. I carried Ruth over on Friday, and his lunch was sitting there, and she's going to feed him. And it was, I guess it was like a pork chop without the bone in it. What do you call it? A tenderloin. I couldn't have cut it with a chainsaw. Ruth said, "Well, I'm going to cut him off a piece of this." And she called the dietary people because she wanted to make his meals for the next several days. And Ruth had gone to the bathroom, and the dietary lady came in. And I said, "My dog couldn't chew that." And then she looked at me like, "You idiot." And then she realized what I was telling was the truth. And I thought, you know, pray for good treatment. Pray for kindness and love and everything, not just for Tony, but for everybody that's in any hospital or facility. Because they need all the love, they need all the care that you can possibly give them. Anybody else we need to pray for? Rosina?
Pray for Ruth also. It's very stressful.
All right. All right. Anyone else?
We all are.
Okay.
Thank you for your prayer.
All right. Lori?
Annette Hilbert, a friend of ours, just found out she's got cancer.
Okay. All right. There's a person that I doubt any of y'all would know in Siler City. I was sort of teasing Greg back there in the Sunday school class. This guy's name's Greg. And he's probably about Greg's age. I did the wedding for he and his first wife. She died with cancer. He remarried. And this lady ended up with a heart transplant, lived several years, and then she died. His third wife died with cancer yesterday. You know, devastated. Devastated. Three wives, and all have passed away. Two of them with cancer and one of them with heart issues. And so that funeral will be sometime this week. And so if you think about it, just say a prayer for Greg and his family, because I know he's gone through a stressful, stressful time over these years. Anyone else? Let's pray. Lord, it's so good to be in your house. Lord, we thank you when we hear good reports. People being healed, people being changed, lives being changed. At the same time, Father, we come to you knowing that there are people that are hurting. And Lord, we do lift up Tony and Ruth. And Lord, I know he wanted to be home, but now and some days or some hours he's discouraged. I pray that you'll encourage him. I pray that your presence will be there in the room with him and with Ruth as she ministers to him, with his other family members. I pray for these that Lori and Rosina have mentioned. Lord, you know their needs, you know their situations. Father, I pray for my friend Greg. Lord, I can't imagine how to lose not just one wife, but three, all in tragic circumstances. Lord, I pray that you wrap your arms around him and his family today, that there might be a special portion of grace and mercy and love poured into his life. Lord, I pray for the men's retreat. I pray for safety as the men travel. I pray for great fellowship. I pray for spiritual growth. Now, Father, for this service, we know you're welcome. We want you here to speak. We want to hear from you. And I want, Lord, personally, not just to be the one doing the talking, but I want to also hear. Lord, for those that are not here because of illness or age or other other frailties, I pray that you'll bless them. They may be sitting in the home and or in a nursing home and longing in their hearts to be sitting here in this sanctuary. Comfort them, Father. Speak to their hearts. Love on them real good, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Okay. We're going to stand together for our hymn of praise with He is Lord. Again, just as special as there's something about that name. And I'm sure, Jeff, you've got us all three verses. Yes. So it's 178 if you prefer your books. And let's just all stand together and praise Him with He is Lord.
Survive.
We thank Tonda for leading the music today in Leonard's absence. And always, she always does such a great job, she and Kathy both. We appreciate them leading when he's not here. You may not remember the verses on that chorus that we just sang, but I hope that you remember the chorus. He is Lord, He is Lord. He's risen from the dead and He is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And there are times I sing that to the Lord. Now, not in public. When I'm driving down the road and I got the windows up in my truck or something. And I change the He to You. You are Lord. You are Lord. You have risen from the dead and You are Lord. And I try to make it personal because He is my Lord and I pray He's your Lord as well. I want to go back to last week. We're taking the test. Everybody get your pencil and piece of paper out. We're going to ask you what I preached last week. Go back to the book of Ephesians. Book of Ephesians. And I will sort of bring you up to date for just a moment of what I preached last week. And then we'll get on to something else. In Ephesians 2:4. God, who is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us. Our salvation comes because God is rich in mercy. He loves us, Ephesians 2:4. His great love is why you're saved. And then when you get down to verse 8 and 9, for by grace you're saved through faith. It's not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. That free gift involves salvation that we don't earn. There's no way we can earn salvation. It's a free gift. Now, if I had a little box sitting up here and I said, this is full of $100 bills, anybody want one? Now, some of you are sitting there and say, it's got to be a scam. They're probably a counterfeit or something, and you wouldn't come. There are others. They would say, well, you know, I'd like to have one of those $100 bills, but I just don't feel right taking it. I've got to earn it. I know what I'll do. I'll go over and I'll mow the preacher's yard next week, and then I'll come back, and I'll feel free taking it. No, it doesn't work that way. You just have to take the $100 bill without mowing my yard. And then some of you would come down there and take it. That's just the way it is with salvation. He said, the Lord says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Confess Him as your Lord and Savior, and you'll be saved. You take it or reject it. You don't earn it. We just get it. But then he goes on, he says in verse 10 of Ephesians 2, we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Once the life of Jesus is placed in us, that holiness, that divine life in us, causes us to live differently. We begin to produce some good works. We begin to do some things that show that there's a real reality to our salvation. Folks can look at us and say, he or she is different because they know Jesus. I hadn't thought about this. I've given this illustration before. I remember when this guy walked the aisle and got saved at West Albemarle when I was a kid, and he was in his 40s, and his testimony a few weeks later was, you know, about 4 o'clock Monday evening, I realized I hadn't cussed anybody out. He said, usually he ran a big business, and his usual practice was go around telling people off, cursing them out or cussing them out, whichever expression you want to use. And he says, you know, he knew his life was totally different because his mouth changed real quickly. Good works come out of our relationship with Jesus. And so the focus of the lesson, of the sermon last week was, what are some of those good works? And we looked at Ephesians 4:1-3. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And we talked about some things about our, what do our good works look like? And the first, they look like a worthy walk, or a walk that shows our status. We're king's kids. We're a part of the royal family of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We're a part of the family that to which every knee shall bow and every tongue confess, which is what we just sung. And we ought to live like that. We ought to show forth that we are the king's kids by the way that we live. And he uses words like lowliness, meekness, long-suffering. And he talks about forbearing one another in love. It says, get along with people that irritate you. Get along with people that irritate you. Some of you do have people that irritate you, right? Yesterday, a friend of mine was texting me, and for the umpteenth time in the last 15 years, she apologized for the way some of her family treated me years ago. And I texted her back. I said, yeah, it was stressful at the time, but now I don't have any pain. It doesn't bother me. And I said, I don't name names, but in fact, it makes good sermon illustrations. Some of the things I went through. You know, the pain is gone, and even though they bothered me years ago, God brought healing. And so this is what he's saying, and so that we can have peace and unity with one another. Now let's go on. And what are some of the other marks or signposts of good works that we should be doing, the ways we should be living as followers of Jesus? Go over to chapter 4. Let's see. Verse 8. Now he that ascended, talking about Jesus going up to heaven, is it but that he also descended first in the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far into all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. He said the Lord, when he went back to heaven, he sent us some spiritually gifted people into our ministry and into our lives. And a part of our good works is to make available and to make useful and make use of those people that God places in our life to teach us, to train us, to instruct us, to bless us. I was thinking about when Sarah and Brian first went to Australia, and we still lived in Oklahoma. Seemed like I could do a box about like that, and of things that they wanted, and or way we wanted to bless them. And I could go to the post office there in Broken Arrow, and for about $39, $40, I could mail it. And they'd get it maybe in 3 weeks. But after we moved here and COVID came, box about like that was $100. And they may not ever get it. And so, as a result, they didn't mail us anything and we didn't mail anything. I just put money in their bank account and they could draw it out down there and buy what they needed. But Sarah got to sending us Lowe's gift cards. Some way or another, she could go on there and next thing you know, on my computer, it would show up, there's a Lowe's gift card, and you just print this off and go down to Lowe's and spend it. Well, you know, my birthday and Pam Mother's Day were about the same, a day or two apart. And so next thing you know, we've got two Lowe's gift cards. And we're always buying flowers, shrubs, gardening tools. So I just give her mine, and we'd go to Lowe's, and she'd buy what she wanted. But see, it was a gift. And she and I made use of it. Now, over the years, I've been given some gift cards to restaurants that I never go to. I've been given some gift cards, some restaurants that I wouldn't ever go to. And I didn't make use of them. Sometimes I carry them around in my pocket till, I know they're expired. And sometimes I just put them in a drawer. Well, here he says, God's given you some gifts. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, make use of them. Allow them to put some things into your life. Now, I'm a pastor teacher. Derek is an evangelist. That doesn't mean he's better than I am or I'm better than he is. God just gifted us different. Billy Graham could get up. He was an evangelist. He could get up and preach seemed to be a very simple message, and 5,000 people would walk the aisle and get saved. He had that spiritual gift. And thousands of people have made use of that. There are some people that have a gift of prophecy. Now you have to, judge that. And the Bible says test the spirits, because some of them are prophetic nuts. And then some of them truly have a word from God. You have to discern. And then the gift of apostles, there's a lot of things, but it's more than a missionary, but in one sense, there's a missionary spirit to the gift of apostleship. We won't go into all the definition. But make use of those spiritual gifts and allow them to bless you. And you won't get it all here on Sunday morning. You may need to be reading some books. You may need to be listening to certain people on the radio or TV. Again, with discernment. But he says, God has given us some gifts, and a part of our good works is just to receive those gifts and allow people that God has gifted to speak into our life. Now, when that happens, what happens? Look down at verse 12. God gave these gifts, why? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. He says there are three things going to happen because of these gifts if we are properly using them. One, we're going to grow spiritually. We're going to become spiritually mature. We're going to become spiritually mature. He says, for the perfecting of the body. It's great to be around people that are spiritually mature. It's sad to be around people that are 75 years old and have the spiritual maturity of a 6-year-old. Been going to church all their life, but they never grew spiritually. And if I wanted to, that's some of those stories I could tell you. But he says, our desire ought to be to grow to maturity. You remember two or three different times in the New Testament, it talks about, I wanted to feed you guys some meat, but I'm still having to give you milk because you haven't grown, you haven't matured. Well, that's sad. It's not sad if you just got saved, but it's sad if you've been a Christian for 30, 40 years and you haven't matured spiritually. He says, allow these gifted individuals to pour into your life that which God has poured into their lives so that you might grow spiritually mature. And that is so important. And then he goes on to say, you'll do that for the work of the ministry. He doesn't say that the gifted individuals will do all the ministry. He says they will equip you to do the ministry that God has given you to do. Now, every one of us here have a ministry. You say, not me. You've got some kind of ministry. You've got some kind of ministry. It may be singing. It may be teaching. It may be sharing out of your pain. I'm thinking now about a lady that lost a daughter in a tragic, tragic accident. And it still hurts her after all these years. It's been probably 15 years or more, maybe close to 20. She's still in pain. But over the years, God has brought across her path a number of people who also lost a child tragically. And she has pushed through her pain to minister to them. That has become one of her ministries, to share with others how God has brought her through. And every one of you will see people this week that I'll never see. You will have situations that I will know nothing about. And whether it's dealing with kids at a school or people at a place of business or a medical office or whatever it is, with your next door neighbor, maybe your ministry is to your family. But having a ministry, he says, God wants to equip you and bless you so that when you come into these situations, what God has imparted to you, you can impart to them. It's been interesting over the years because, you know, I'm a reader, and I'll be reading a book, and 3 days later after I finish the book, I'll meet somebody that needs to know what I just read, that needs to be blessed by what I just read, the insights that I gained from this that I just read. Be open to the Lord using you. Be open to the Lord using you. Sometimes it's just a mom or a dad imparting into the lives of their little children how much God loves them. The things of God. Being willing to answer their questions. Being willing to explain things that they don't understand. You know, little kids are inquisitive. Sometimes little kids misunderstand. Again, I know me better than anybody else, so I'll talk about me. I don't know, maybe 6 years old. Two things. I was afraid to go to sleep at night. You don't know why? Well, first we prayed, now lay me down to sleep. If I should die before I wake, I could die while I'm asleep. You know, a six-year-old doesn't understand. And then in addition to that, somebody had told me the story of the death angel coming through Egypt, killing all the firstborn. Hey, I'm the firstborn. How many nights I couldn't go to sleep because I was laying there thinking, is he coming for me? Is he coming for me? Nobody explained to me that that was a one-time deal because God was dealing with the Egyptians. I thought it was for everybody and that he could come back just any time and get me. So parents and grandparents, explain the Bible stories. Let the kids learn to love and appreciate the love of God rather than always being afraid of the judgment of God. Gifted individuals pouring into our lives so that we might become spiritually mature and so that we might have the ministry that God has given us. And then he says, for the edifying of the body of Christ. That means edifies to build up. To build up the body of Christ. And then he goes on to say, building and part of the building up of the body of Christ is that till we come in verse 13, till we come in the unity of the faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect or mature man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. We become look like Jesus. I know some people that look like Jesus in a sense. They may not have a long beard and everything and wear a robe, but their very countenance glows with the presence of Jesus. And then he goes on to say, verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. There's so much nuttiness in some strains of Christianity. So much nuttiness. There's in some areas, there's so much heresy. So much unbelief. You know, when a Baptist preacher holds this up and says, nobody believes this anymore, and 150 people walk out and start their own church, you understand. But what about the 300 that didn't walk out? Deceived. Deceived. And it's sad. Paul says, a part of our growing and developing in the good works is to grow to a maturity so that we're not easily led astray by people who have false doctrine, false teaching. And sometimes you're able to, you know, somebody will say something and you can put your finger right on it. And sometimes you can't really put your finger on it, but deep down in your spirit, the Holy Spirit says, there's something about this that's not right. I had a fellow years ago give me a book and said, this is just great. Unfortunately, he was chairman of deacons. So I read it. And I couldn't put my finger on it, but I knew something was not right. He wanted me to put it in church library when I finished reading it. Then I found out it was written by a Mormon. And I put it in church library. I dropped it behind the shelves. I didn't lie to him. I put it in church library. I couldn't convince him that the book was not right. But something down in my spirit says, Ed, this just is not right. And if we, as we grow and mature spiritually, we can listen to somebody preach, we can listen to somebody on TV or on the radio, and we say, wait a minute, something here's not right. And Paul says that's a part of our growing and maturing and the works that we do as believers in Christ. We learn to discern and we become more than children who you just tell them anything and they believe it. And that's such a vital part of growing in the Lord. And in verse 16, he talks about the whole body being edified and in love and the church growing. We build up in our doctrine. We build up in our faith. We build up in our unity. We become united with Christ. Everything about us becomes more like Jesus. And that's so important. People that come in the door of the church ought to sense the presence of Jesus. They ought to sense that there's something about this place that's different than when I walk in over at the Civic Center, or I walk into the high school, or I walk into the grocery store. They ought to sense the presence of Jesus because God is working in our lives individually and we're becoming united in love and in our relationship with Him. And God is doing that work. Now, a question I have to ask myself is, how closely do my good works resemble the good works that Paul is talking about here? You know, do we need to pull a few weeds in our life? Do we need to add some fertilizer in some places? Does my life begin to resemble the life? Am I growing or am I still immature? Am I becoming more like Jesus or less like Jesus? Am I more unified with my brothers and sisters in the Lord or more split apart? It's amazing to be in a place where there's such a unity of the faith. That it's almost like you could cut it with a knife. And I've been in some places like that. I think about the first church I visited in Brazil. It's about the size of this church, I guess. But instead of padded pews, they had what we'd call park benches, just wooden slatted benches. But that's all right. You members didn't have to sit down. Didn't get to sit down anyway. That was for the visitors. The members stood around the walls, and some of them stood outside and looked in the window because they wanted the visitors, the unsaved, to have a place to sit. And the unity and the spirit in that church was awesome. I think about preaching in a church in Honduras. And they didn't have a pulpit like this. The offertory table backed up against the wall. And so I stood with my back to the offertory table, but I couldn't move like I do here because there was kids sitting all around the floor, and if I'd have took one step over, I'd have stepped on a kid. But that building was crammed, packed full of people that loved Jesus. That's what Paul is saying. We want the Spirit of God to use gifted individuals to build us up spiritually so that our love for Jesus grows, our love for one another grows, our love for a lost world grows, and our lives begin to resemble the life of Jesus. This week I encourage you, grow in the Lord. Grow in the Lord. Don't be satisfied with where you are. Never be satisfied with where you are. I remember a man who was about 50, 55 years old telling me one time, "Preacher, I'm not going to come to church much anymore. I know all I need to know." And I watched him spiritually shrivel up. I don't want to be that way. I hope I learn something new the day I die. I hope I get closer to Jesus the day I die. And I hope that for you, I pray that for you too. Grow in the Lord. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come in the unity of the faith, knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness. May we be mature followers of Jesus. If there's someone that needs to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we invite you to come. If there's someone that needs to just come to the altar and talk to the Lord about something this morning, we invite you to come. There are other decisions you want to make. But most of all, just right where you are, say, "Lord, I want to become more like Jesus." Thank you. Brother Jim, would you dismiss us?
Our gracious Father in heaven, we're so thankful for this day and for the message that we have heard. We ask that, Father, you will strengthen us with this message, and that, Father, you will help us to apply it to our lives. We pray, Father, and give you thanks for allowing us to come together to discuss the business of this church and to hold this conference. Father, we thank you for the blessings you bestowed upon us financially, spiritually, and physically. Father, we just ask you to continue to guide us and direct us, that we may be that lighthouse that you want us to be. Guide us now, Father, as we go to our homes. Give us kind mercies on our way there. We pray, Father, that you will bring us back at the appointed time. Thank you for your love, your grace, and your mercy. We humbly pray and ask these things in